Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Mallarist, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. Today the topic is called How to Learn Astrology, the Three Majors. We are going to discuss and go over the significance of sun, moon, and rising sign in tandem all together, and find out why it is so important for all of us to know what our three major parts of any natal chart are the sun, the moon, and the rising sign, importance of degrees of location of those three majors, and also basically what it means. So welcome to the Astrology Hour, folks. I hope you're having a wonderful day. I enjoyed listening to Molly Groger's program, the Eating Awareness Training Program. I'm going to go through that training very soon because I've heard so much good stuff about it, so I'm very excited about Molly. If you ever heard that show on Wednesday, she is wonderful. She is a hot, hot lady. I've been reading her book, and it's just incredible. No more dieting for me after that, I'll tell you. Okay, let's take a look at what's going on today in this particular show. A lot of people walk around in a daze. They have no idea what astrology is. They pick up the paper and go, I think I'm going to check my sun sign horoscope, and then they actually believe it. And that's okay, you know, but there are a lot of good astrologers that write sun sign horoscopes. And, you know, if you know the basic qualities of the 12 zodiac signs, like most astrologers do, it's easy to write a sun sign horoscope because you just stick to mental things with Gemini, emotional things with Cancer, creative things with Leo, analytical things with Virgo, and you're going to hit them right on almost every day. So writing sun sign forecast is simple, and it usually does make a lot of sense because what you're really doing is redefining the basic essence of the sun sign over and over again. So there's my secret there. But, you know, the real truth behind learning astrology is getting and analyzing a birth chart. Okay, and you know, once again, I reiterate that the sun sign is only one element. It's only 1/11th of a birth chart. That's why some of you don't even adhere to your sun sign forecast that you'll read about in the paper. And you know, society's media is responsible for creating an area of astrology that is so limiting. This sun sign astrology stuff is like nursery school astrology, and it is there because people actually are at a level of consciousness, not to put them down, but it's like a part of your mind needs to open up. Truthfully, if you're into astrology and you remember when you turned the corner like I did from sun sign to scientific astrology, then you will recall a moment in your life when suddenly there was a need to understand astrology as a science beyond the sun sign. And so it's not an accident that there's been a big demand for this sun sign astrology, and right now there are some people trying to negotiate to get me to do one of these telephone horoscope things, which I'm thinking about to as a tease to get people interested in the science of astrology somehow, to get in touch with me directly. So, but still, you know, there is a place for that. There is, you know, there is always room for nursery school prior to kindergarten and then the first grade, for sure. But when we take a look at astrology as a science, you must remember that we are looking at a star map. When you look at a natal chart, you are looking at a map. I have to think the best astrologers would make some of the best navigators on a starship in this solar system, you know, limited to the solar system, that is. But still, as far as the zodiac stellar constellations are concerned, and also including the planetary movements and the time of movements, astrology is all about analyzation of those very movements of planets and interpreting what that means in human terms. So specifically, when you're born, if you get a chart cast and you do find out where all your planets are located, and once again, if you're a new listener and you're a Libra, it doesn't mean that all your planets are going to be in Libra. Don't be ridiculous. If all the planets were in Libra at any one time, then this part of the solar system would probably float away. Too much gravity in one part of the solar system for sure. So that is not possible, and that's why if you listen to the show every day, I literally condition my listeners at the beginning of the show, right at 12 noon, when I tell them where the planets are. You know, I give the planetary news every day, and I give the location of the planets by sign and by degree, tell you whether they're direct motion or retrograde, and also explain to you if there's a moon wobble or whatever. By the way, a lot of people wonder about the Mercury retrograde because we are in a retrograde period right now, and a lot of the school problems and also other questions are about. So I'm going to give you a definition of the Mercury retrograde right now as part of this topic. When Mercury is retrograde, we can't expect indecision and changes in plans except for those people that have Mercury retrograde in their charts. If you are a Mercury retrograde individual, you will get more of a free flow during this period. So that's just a few of you. That's a small percentage of you. Retrograde periods for Mercury do oftentimes require caution and orderly thinking. It's a good time for research, planning, examination of resources, and completion of projects already begun. During this period, we might reconsider waylaid projects from the past or go back to old ideas or plans. And like I say, with exception of those people that do have Mercury retrograde, those are the ones that will begin projects during this period with much success or improved success. Seems like if you have Mercury retrograde in your chart, when everybody else is falling apart, you're okay. And when you're falling apart, everybody else is okay. Avoid beginning important new projects while Mercury is retrograde. I'd say anything with a value of $500 or more would be considered a big enough project to be affected by the Mercury. And people say, what does Mercury retrograde mean, Farley? Well, during the Earth's orbit around the Sun, the planets also appear to be going a certain direction in space. But when the Earth reaches a certain apogee in its orbit, a certain angle, then those planets will appear to be backing up in space instead of going all forward. And that's when we call that a retrograde period. The planets are not really backing up, but Earth's orbit is going faster than their forward motion in space. And that's what we call a retrograde period. And the planetary's energy astrologically is significantly inhibited during these periods. Okay? And that's why Mercury retrograde is so weird. And, okay, so projects begun during a Mercury retrograde period often develop difficulty, more expected. They develop differently than expected. It's not really difficulty, it's just a difference, a different outcome, so to speak. About the only way to really avoid disappointments is to expect disruptions, and considering we are having a moon wobble in alignment with the Mercury retrograde, there is a much more higher level of disappointment and disruption during this particular retrograde period. There will be delays in business matters, especially those concerned with communications. People ruled by Mercury, like Gemini rising, Gemini moon, Virgo rising, Virgo moon, and the same sun signs, or whose charts have prominent mercurial signs, are more strongly affected than others by the Mercury retrograde periods. Don't expect people, especially Geminis and Virgos, to be able to make up their minds at this time. And while Mercury is retrograde, it's important to give greater attention to accuracy, details, and daily routine. Errors are very likely, and mechanical breakdowns often happen. And that's right, don't wait to take your car in when it breaks down during a retrograde. It's a good time to get it fixed. Same with anything else. Just be aware that's when things will break down. Okay, now let's take a look at the three major aspects in astrology, the sun, the moon, and the rising sign. The rising sign is so critical next to the moon, and probably more important than the sun in an astrology chart. The rising sign is the one part of the chart which is not a planet or a moon or a star. The rising sign happens to be an area of space which we astrologers theorize actually is the direction in which the Earth is spinning, which is towards the east, okay, and in which from our point of view in any given latitudinal location, planets, the Sun and the Moon, will rise, including the entire zodiac. The belt of the zodiac are the 12 signs of the zodiac, Aries through Pisces, which make an efficient full circle around this planet and around our entire solar system, continually moves from east to west. Okay, I'm sorry, moves towards the west from the east, from west to east, in a nonstop process, a nonstop cycle. Okay, so when we talk about rising sign, we are or ascendant, ascendent is another word that we use for the rising sign, then what we are specifically discussing is we are discussing which one of the zodiac signs is on the eastern horizon at birth, okay? Or during any astrological calculation, we'd like to know which one of the zodiac signs is rising, okay? And that, the reason why that is because we have figured out that considering the Earth's movement, that the soul of the being enter and the energy from outer space, from beyond this realm, comes to Earth in such a fast process that in such a lightning speed that in order to gain accuracy, it must enter from the east and go into the baby from the eastern horizon, which is like a laser beam from beyond this realm, the eastern part of the realm, towards Earth, the way it's spinning, the direction it's spinning, and then into the child. And that's why the rising sign specifically gives an appearance, or actually gives what we would say the personality, the character, or the identity of any being or any issue, any baby or whatever, okay? So when you take a look at your chart, and when you're reading your chart, and when you're trying to figure out where your rising sign is, well, you'd look to the eastern part of the chart, which happens to be the left side of the wheel. And the left side of the wheel, the far left edge, which would be, if you numbered it like a clock, which you don't have to do, then where the 9 would be located is the eastern horizon. So if you circle those letters and those numbers in that degree, then you can literally find out what your rising sign is. Like my left side of my wheel, it's at the end of the asterisk. There's a bunch of asterisks that cut the chart in half, separating the top and the bottom. So following those asterisks to the left, we literally find, excuse me, that on the far left edge there, okay, on the far left edge, it says 20 Li 17. So my rising sign is 20 degrees Libra, and the second number is one, on the bottom is 17 minutes of that 20th degree. So I'm 20 degrees Libra, 17 minutes, which means no matter what in my life, I'm going to come across more as Libra than anything else in my chart. It overwhelms your sun sign, it overwhelms your moon sign and your planets. The rising energy, the rising force, is the way the baby expresses all of its energies through. It's the funnel through which all the energies are expressed. Okay? And typically, if you are to represent, recognize astrology at all, then it is very, very important for you to understand the rising or the ascendant. Okay? The sign rising on the eastern horizon at the moment of birth. And once the position of the ascendant is calculated, the other signs follow in order around the chart, making up the 12 house divisions, okay? And the 12 houses relate specifically to areas of the subject's life, such as possessions, career, family, etc. And although other forms exist, the equal house system is used during this radio program. And also, I recommend a book, which is called The New Complete Astrologer by Derek and Julia Parker, who are two of my most wonderful teachers who teach Equal House Astrology in their book, The New Complete Astrology. The New Complete Astrologer is what it's called. You know what? Someone knocked the cover. The New Complete Astrologer is spelled C-O-M-P-L-E-A-T, found at your finer bookstores, including a whole course from nursery school to beyond college in astrology, which is very fun, for sure. Okay? And then, okay, now we've got the personality of the baby, and frankly, in astrology, don't ask people, can you guess my sun sign? Because usually that's a joke when people try to do that. But, the second of the three majors next to the rising sign, when we analyze the birth chart, is the sun, okay? The sun sign, finally. And unfortunately, the sun is in detriment in Aquarius, which means Aquarian suns do sometimes have identity problems, or they are somewhat different. And the sun does its worst in fall in Libra, okay? The sun rules Leo and is exalted in Aries. Now, the house that the sun occupies will be strongly emphasized, and the affairs of that house are likely to be of great importance to the subject throughout the life. So even though I am a Leo. I find my sun in the 10th house, the career house, and that is why career, ambition, and success, and why the foundation of this show is, how's my career, Farley, is so important to me and everyone else. And that's why, more than just knowing your sun sign, if you want to know about your three majors, find what house your sun is in and embrace that house to understand your true zodiacal identity for this lifetime. And generally speaking, the affairs of houses 7 through 12 are concerned with the adult life, okay, and the interpretation of children's charts. The planets placed in houses 7 through 12 will relate to potentialities to be developed in the adulthood, okay? And people with planets with the sun in house 1 through 6 may have problems growing up in general, are facing maturity in general through their whole life. That's part of their karma. The sun is associated with the heart and the spine, with heads of state or royalty, fatherhood and children, with creativity, especially in the theater and with games, and the sun epitomizes the Leonine, the Leo vibration. And positive solar traits would be creativity, generosity, big-heartedness, showing great love, organizing ability, love of children, affection, magnanimous attitudes, and dignified. Negative solar traits would be pompous, arrogant, dominant people, gushing and extravagant, condescending, overbearing, and bombastic, tending to throw his weight about, too big for his boots, so to speak. And as part of this topic, knowing your rising sign by degree, okay, and knowing your sun sign by, of course, the sign it's in, which you all should know anyway, even before you hear the show, and also what house the sun is in, like I'm a 10th house Leo sun at 18 Leo, which will tell any astrologer a lot about me, are part and parcel to understanding the majority energy from a being. Because, frankly, the sun, moon, and rising sign, the three majors in astrology, are so important that without them, it's difficult to understand a person. When I meet somebody in astrology, in the astrology business, if I know their three majors where the sun is placed in the house, then I'm going to know them. I don't care where Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, or Pluto are. The fact that people know me as a Leo sun, Scorpio moon, Libra rising, boom, in astrology, that's a language that says something, that tells you who and what Farley's all about, and it gives you a great idea of what my personality, character, and emotional framework are all about. Okay? Now, more than just being the sun sign, more than just being something important as far as where it's located in the house, the sun tells us what energy we are meant to master in this life. We are not born master of any sign, but we are asked to master the particular energy of the sign we're born to. For example, I myself, being a Leo sun in the 10th house at 18 Leo, I am being born to master Leo 9 things concerning 10th house matters. And because a negative side to Leo can be domination and bossiness and manipulation and ego and conceit, okay, that was a big major problem for me in my early life in career in the 10th house area. So I hope I've come a long way in learning how to master that power of Leo, that magnanimous, creative, generous, joyful, big-hearted energy in Leo in my career, which I think I've done. Another example would be perhaps a Gemini sun in the eighth house, okay? We would take the Gemini energy, which is psychological and communicating, and the eighth house force, which is an intimate love, intimate side, and what that person would be born to master in their life would be intimate communication or deep love, intense Gemini Scorpio community and communion in love and romance and sexual affairs. Okay, so everyone has a different area to master depending where their sun sign is. The sun sign also links you up with your father. Let me tell you something. When you're born with a particular sun sign, it's not an accident, because you can actually analyze and understand your father totally by analyzing and understanding where the sun is placed in your chart by sign, by house, and by aspect. And it'll even give you the karma of your dad. And it's so true. My dad is so Leo 9 in his way. He's so creative and so expressive. And he has such a career, successful, ambitious guy, sun in my 10th house, and sun trine Jupiter. He loves sports, he loves horses, and he loves freedom and travel, and sun square moon, very emotional, very sensitive, very tender, very moody, and you could actually find your dad in your chart by looking at how your sun is placed and where it's aspected. So definitely the paternal influence. Some people may have sun in the 12th or an unaspected sun. You don't know where your father is, or you don't even know your father. That's possible too. You could have sun in the 8th or sun in the 12th, and he might have disappeared, or a horribly aspected sun in the 6th or 10th, and he was always at work. He was never home. Or sun in the 12th, horribly aspected, and he's always drunk or stoned. So you can find your father in your natal chart. Now, the next part of the three majors is the moon, okay? And the moon, next to the sun, is the most important body in the birth chart, and the rising, of course. The characteristics of the sign it occupies forms the integral part of the personality that is emotional. And these have a direct bearing on habits and reactions in a given environment, and on one person's instinctive behavior. It's like the animal inside of you is the moon, and how you react. Characteristics inherited from past generations in your family are related to the moon and its position at your birth. The moon is associated with birth, motherhood, the digestive tract, including the stomach, with focus on the stomach and the breasts, the sympathetic nervous system, body fluids, nutrition, emotional disturbance, and personal habits, the home, family, ancestors, response, and memory. The moon rules Cancer. It does fine there. It does best in Taurus, exalted in Taurus. It doesn't do so good in Capricorn, detriment there. And it does its worst, the most sensitive in my sign, in Scorpio. Okay, and keywords for the moon are responsive, instinct, and fluctuation. Now, when we take a look at the moon, we are taking a look at the sum total of karma that we have earned emotionally through the sum total of all of our past lives in this dimension considered. So when you take a look at your moon placed in your chart, karmically speaking, by sign, by house, and by aspect, you are significantly and specifically looking at emotionally what you have done with all of your past lives. And obviously, if I'm a Scorpio moon in the first house with four squares on it, emotionally there has been some abuse in my past lives, which have been the major focus and key lesson of this particular lifetime. One darn intense emotional lesson for Farley. Lesson. One darn intense lesson for Farley is for sure. Okay, so you can really zero in on a lot of things by looking at the moon. Number one, it answers the question, how do I feel? Number two, it answers the question, what mood am I in? It also answers the question, am I sexual or sensuous or romantic or intimate? And it also gives us an idea of the timing and the sexual cycles we'll go through. It also answers the question about your mother. So you can look and find and see your mother by analyzing your moon in your natal chart from your point of view. Like your brothers and sisters may see your mother in a different way, so their moon will be differently placed. Ironic, in my family, both my sister and I, although 6 years apart, have the same exact 17-degree Scorpio moon. Even though she's got trines on hers, I've got squares on mine. It's still in fall for both of our charts. So a lot to be learned from the mother in our lives, which has been very true. But, my childhood was all about my mom. She was there for me all the time. Sometimes she was there maybe too much. A very worrisome, intense, sensitive, tender, loving lady. And hence my moon in the first house. So emphasis on the mother in the childhood from that occurrence there. And we also find that we can discover cycles emotionally by following the transit of the moon through the 12 signs every 30 days. And when the moon ever comes back to the sign of our birth, like when it hits Scorpio for me, which will happen in a few days, then we have what is called a lunar return. We are put through an emotional test every 30 days. When that return happens, it is about a 16-hour cycle that occurs. Sometimes you're sleeping during it. And you literally set up your emotional cycle for the next month during your lunar return. So if you get upset, if you're crazy, if you lose your temper, if you're irritable, depressed, or insecure during a lunar return, you're establishing the pattern for the next 28 or 30 days depending on how you feel during that moment of the moon's return to its place in the sky where it was at your birth. Okay? So you know, by looking at this chart and by knowing the three majors in our How to Learn Astrology topic here today, obviously the rising sign will dictate the appearance, the character, the identity, and basically the main force of energy through which all of our planets are funneled. And the part of us that is A number one as far as understanding compatibility is concerned, you must somehow have rising sign compatibility with a person you know or love in relationships if you want to get along with them. That's when we have our personality differences, because there is not rising sign compatibility. The sun is the energy through which what we must master in our life cycle. It is also the father. It is also our creative influence and our overall soul, where our soul has come in its path throughout eternity. And the moon is the emotional factor through which we have gained, through which we have earned, through which how we express ourselves. So obviously, knowing the three majors by their signs, by their degrees, and for the sun and moon, which house they are in, and of course by aspect, will tell you so much about yourself and so many people. And that is why if you know nothing else of your chart in astrology, learn and memorize and know your three majors. So if you meet someone in astrology, they'll say, what are your three majors? You'll be able to say, I'm Taurus, rising Leo, Virgo moon, and they'll go, wow, now I know you. And obviously if two out of your three majors are in the same sign, you are a double. That's right. You might be a Virgo sun with moon and rising in Aquarius. That means you'll be a double Aquarius with Virgo sun, okay? And if you happen to be one of those lucky winners of having all three majors, sun, moon, and rising, in the same sign, then you will be a triple of that sign, like a triple Aries, a triple Taurus, a triple Capricorn, a triple Leo, and you got it. Extreme intensity coming from one sector of space when you are a double or a triple. And I have known quite a few in my life, doubles and triples, a triple Scorpio, triple Capricorn, triple Cancer, triple Leo, triple Virgo, triple Aquarius, and sometimes I run, sometimes I don't. Okay, there's another topic for you, how to learn astrology, the three majors.